Canada, joined by Måneskin. Hello. Thank you guys so much for taking the
time. Hello.
It's so good to see you. I'm such a fan of all of you. So this is very fun.
Thank you.
So good.
Thank you.
First of all, I want to start off by saying happy Pride Month to all of you. Victoria, you're referred to as the bi queen by a lot of your fans. How does that feel?
Good, I guess.
Yeah, that's nice. And Damiano and Thomas, I know you two actually kissed at a show on Polish TV last year. Can you talk a little bit about why you decided to do that?
We thought, like, being in unfortunately Poland is a very strict country when it comes to like inclusivity and stuff like that, and it's still persecuted. Homosexuality is still persecuted, so we felt like we could being on a stage and having all this attention towards us, we thought like it could have been like a helpful gesture.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like there's like nothing more rock and roll than doing something like that. That's so sweet. It's like using your powers for good. That's awesome. I want to go back a little bit to the beginning of when you guys first got together and first formed. When you were putting together and starting the group, was the goal always to have success, or was it just to create a group and make music?
No, at first we never thought about like actually making success or anything like that. We just wanted to do it like as much as we could. So like our goal was always to share our music with as many people as possible and get to play as many gigs as we could. But we never thought about like, okay, now we need to get famous or something. It just came very natural.
Yeah. Was there ever a moment where you're like, oh, this, where that shifted, where you're like, oh, this could actually turn to something? Was it X Factor? Was it before that?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
with
yeah,
X Factor.
Yeah, it was a moment. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, congrats on having a song on the Elvis soundtrack. That's so exciting.
Thank you so much.
We actually just had Austin Butler in here just a few days ago talking about everything. Yeah, so, and the soundtrack is incredible. It's crazy. How did that song choice come to be? I know, was it Baz Luhrmann that then brought the song to you, right? Were you familiar with the song beforehand?
Yeah, like when we spoke to him, he told us about a couple options of songs, but then when we went to the studio, we immediately clicked with this one and we felt like it was the right one.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it sounds like it. Were you familiar with Elvis? Like, how is it over in Europe? Because I know here it's obviously he's like the biggest.
Yeah.
But is it the same way
also
there?
In Europe.
Yeah, it's the same. The same all over the world.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, just the biggest. Incredible. That's so awesome. And speaking of like movies and Elvis and fame and all of the things, you have met obviously some incredible people throughout your career so far, people in the music industry that I'm sure that you look up to. But what I want to know is, how do you get a breakfast invite to Chris Martin and Dakota Johnson's house? How does that happen?
It was very random. Yeah, we were playing
iHeartRadio.
Yeah, it was iHeartRadio. Okay, and we ended up like chatting in the backstage, and he had to go away. He was like super in a rush, but he was like, okay, just come over to my house. It was like super super fast. And then we were, okay, we got an invitation. It looks like
invitation.
Yeah. Thank and you did you think that he was going to like follow up on that and actually make it happen?
Yeah.
No, like I mean, he looks very
nice.
Like, yeah, nice and relatable. Like if he says something, you can trust
it. It would have been fun though if he said like, come have breakfast at mine, and then and ghost then us and never answer again.
And then he's like, yeah, we'll do breakfast for sure. And then yeah.
Never bye.
Yeah. But Sean Penn was also at the breakfast. That's right.
Yeah.
How was that? What do you guys talk about? What do you do over breakfast?
We were curious about what they were doing, like films and stuff. So it was more about them than about us.
Obviously, you had your trip to America. That was a big thing, and recording music and all of that. Was America what you had expected it to be?
Yeah, I would say on some points, yes, on other, maybe
it
was,
yes.
Yeah, I think it was like our expectation, but then actually being there, of course, you dig deeper in it and you really experience stuff you could only imagine.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I live in Canada, so I think we always had this like obsession with America and Hollywood because of like movies and media and stuff like that. Was that also the case?
Yeah. But I think that's pretty much as it looks.
Yeah, they sell it very well.
Yeah, it's just like the glitz and the glam and how big it is and everything like that. Yeah. Were there like American movies that you grew up loving?
Yeah.
I don't know. Wow.
I know, but I don't know if this is American. Point Break. Yeah.
Point Break.
Point Break.
Many
of them.
Point
yeah.
Break. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Are there any others?
Most of like the huge films.
Yeah. Or American. Are, yeah. American.
Yeah. I was like Mean Girls all the way. I was like that.
Mean Girls.
Mean Girls, of course.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Just historic. Totally. It's like a classic at this point. And I know the trip inspired the song Supermodel, but did spending time in the US, did that influence the outcome of other music that you made?
I would say yes. Because like even if we're not aware of it in the moment, I think that the environment in which we are influences a lot. So the cool thing about being there is that we got to meet a lot of new people and other artists and stuff like that, of course, like inspires you in the process.
Yeah. And when you record a ton of songs, how do you then go about deciding which songs you're going to come out with? Is there like a lot of debate that goes on between you?
Yeah, pretty much. We had like this huge list with like 40 songs and we're like, okay, raise your hands. Who wants this on the record? And then we were like, when it came, we kind of agreed on most of them. And then when it was like the last three or four songs, we started like,
Started five.
It's going to be hard to, it's got to be hard to vote too with four of you, because then it's like two against two and things.
Yeah, I know. When it's two against two, we let our manager vote.
Yeah. It's like the fifth most thing sometimes for the big choices.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so great. What do you feel like is the biggest misconception that the public has of you?
I think people think we are way more crazy and aggressive than we actually are.
We're cute.
Yeah, no, like,
yeah,
like
we're pretty normal.
On stage, everybody can see what we do, so it's easy. But like two or three days ago, we were rehearsing, and then we had like 5 minutes prep, and we started playing
Arrows.
And we thought like, that's so funny because our fans are probably thinking that we're like doing coke and drinking all the time and we're here playing Arrows like idiots. So it's, I think that's a huge misunderstanding.
Do you feel like you put that on a little bit, like you put on that image? So it's not very surprising that they think that way, right?
No, I think that it's like a bit.
I think that if you look carefully, you can actually see like how each one of us actually behaves.
Yeah. Also, I think it's like a bit of stereotype, the fact that like, to be crazy on stage, it means we're on drugs or I don't know. Like, it's just like the music that we just enjoy it and have fun and feel free in that moment. But that doesn't mean we're like drug addicts.
That makes sense. They like relate it to that like old school rock and roll lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. That I feel like one of the biggest things that surprised me about you is first of all, just how young you guys are. And also just like how much has happened in just a few years. Does it feel like it's been from your perspective just so quick?
No,
because we've been playing together for like 7 years. Yeah. So there's happened a lot of stuff. But if we basically think of our like oral or
whole
teenagehood, it's been always together and playing and stuff. So it's just like if we think about all the crazy year we did a lot of things because everything blew up so quickly, and of course that's like still mind-blowing. But if we think back to our whole journey, then it feels like it's long.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I know a lot of people talk to you guys about rock and roll and where that's at now and how you guys are kind of the resurgence of rock music. And I'm sure that they ask you about like where rock is headed, but where would you like to see rock music go?
I think the cool thing would just to see a lot of other musicians coming up, because what we feel is just that in the last years, you know, maybe it's not like the most mainstream genre of music, so a lot of artists that maybe enjoy it feel like the pressure, as we all also felt like when we started from the labels and everything, to like go more pop or not play this kind of music. And I think that's a shame, because it like kills the individuality of people, because you don't feel free to really do what you like. So more than rock, I would just hope that every artist can feel free to do whatever they like without the need to conform to what's more mainstream at the moment.
Yeah, I think that we should just stop labeling music. Like, I feel like only like labels and radio care about like genre, and if it's rock or if it's pop, people just don't give a shit about it. Like they never did. So I think we should just stop labeling things and let things influence each other and just enjoy music without feel the urge to put it in a box and to have to follow all these stupid rules and schemes to be a proper rock band, a proper pop act, a proper jazz player. You can do whatever, it's just music.
But yeah, what you were saying about the just like how there shouldn't be any genres and things, I see like Olivia Rodrigo, for example. See, she is referred to as like a pop artist, but then pop just stands for popular, which could go into so many different categories, right? And then people want to be like, oh, but she's more pop rock pop, and then there's, it goes into all the subgenres and things like that. So yeah, that's a really
good one. Just listen to it.
Yeah, so great. When do you feel the most fulfilled? Is it on stage? Is it after you wrote a good song? When do you feel that the most?
I think in two different situations, on stage and when we create new music, basically, when we are in the studio and, for example, you know, we discovered a new song that we all together said, oh my God, this song is banger, you know what I mean? So in this situation, and of course on stage, because you have the possibility to have the contact with the audience.
For me, say, well, maybe I enjoy it the most on stage. Like it's when you get to like really play something you wrote in front of thousands of people and they sing it back to you. That's the moment where I feel like the music takes life.
Yeah.
The funniest part, of course, it's gigs and live music, because you get in front of a lot of people and do shit. But the thing that fulfills me the most is writing music, is when you write the song and you feel like you managed to say everything you wanted to say and it sounds good and you feel like it's going to be great and people are going to connect with it. It's something more than just fun.
Yeah. Ethan, what about you?
Yeah, for me as well. I mean, while writing, I always feel that I can like let my emotions out and then turn them into something that can be real, like a song or like a vocal melody or like a chord progression. And yeah, I think it's the moment when I free the most.
Yeah, amazing. Måneskin, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much.
Great conversation. Thanks so much.
See you. Thank you so much.